שלום, אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי רבש, כרך א'.
We're reading in the writings of Rabash, first volume, page 429, the article, The Difference Between Chesed ve'emet, Mercy and Truth, to Chesed, which is not truth. There is no English text for it. You can ask questions at cup.tv and selected questions will be asked live. Writings of Rabash, first volume in Hebrew, page 429, the essay is The Difference Between Mercy and Truth to Mercy, which is not truth. We're reading in the middle of the article, and there's no English text for it. However, our sages said, a person should always engage in Torah and mitzvot, even if it is lo lishma, not for the sake of the Torah. Because from lo lishma, we come to lishma. In the work of lo lishma, when a person wants to reach the degree of lishma from that, here, in that state, the main thing that a person needs is extra safeguarding and a great understanding and a special guidance how to come out of the state of lo lishma and reach lishma.
Specifically, those efforts, a person collects them and does his best so they don't disappear. Because if they do disappear, let's say like in our world, I reach something. So already all those states that I chased it, that I wanted to get there, that I was searching for it and doing all these actions in order to reach something, it's already in the past and forgotten. And that's why, let's say, connection, love also, there's no place for it to be revealed. But in spirituality, when we long for and reach the implementation, so our vessel is included from all of those efforts that were there before, and they don't disappear. That's why it's called eternal. That's why spirituality is eternal, because it's a vessel, that longing, it stays. Yes. That's why the person will deal in Torah mitzvot forever. So, because that process from lo lishma to lishma, that period of lo lishma, then we start appreciating it as much as it was making these changes in us, and now it's also keeping that eternal love. Because if it would disappear, that exertion, that suffering, so we wouldn't feel the eternality in the state we achieved.
Because this is a very complicated place, because it's not in man's ability to scrutinize the truth. That is, what is truth and what is a lie? Because by man's nature, he cannot see any deficiencies in himself, because a man is always close to himself, and because of that, he's bribed. And bribe blinds the eyes of the sages.
Man doesn't feel that. He thinks he's working in an objective way that doesn't depend on anything, that he's like a judge, honest and really like hanging in the air, doesn't depend on anybody. He doesn't feel that he did everything, the created being. Yeah.
And even more than that, that even if he sees the truth, that he is not walking on the right path, and he should change his way, that is to exit self-love. However, the klipa of Egypt controls the body, and a man is unable to come out of that control, but only by help from above.
Meaning either there's a klipa that covers his vision and he can't see that he's dependent on his ego, and all kinds of receiving those benefits and all the fulfillments. So either he doesn't feel it, or even he feels it, but that klipa is such it supposedly justifies what comes to him when he enjoys some bribery, or it balances something. He's still as if he's neutral and right.
As the sages said, man's inclination overcomes him every day, and if not for the Creator helping him, he wouldn't be able to cope with it.
And then they show a person, as much as he is in his evil inclination, if it's revealed or not revealed, if he's willing to cope with it in order to fulfill it and justify it. That's according to the control of the klipat pa'o on him. It's a klipa like it covers, a shell or a peel covers, so here too the klipa covers the truth.
Because of it, the main work starts in the second state called lo lishma. By this, it turns out that the main work with the body that resists and doesn't let one work is at a time that a person is working in concealment and is not looking to receive any reward from people. Rather, one works only for the Creator. That is because the Creator commanded us to keep the Torah and Mitzvot, and one wishes to fulfill His desire. And that for him is the reason why he keeps the Torah and Mitzvot. However, what does he lack? He is expecting a reward for it. That is, since he sees that he is unable to work not in order to receive a reward, he needs to promise his body that it will receive some reward for the exertion. And to the extent that the body believes that is, that it will receive a reward, to that extent one is capable of keeping the Torah mitzvot. But at the time that it is in doubt regarding the reward, then one has no fuel for the work. And in that state, that is, that a person yearns to be the servant of the Creator, not in order to receive a reward, then the body objects with all its strength and doesn't let him have a place of rest. When he tells him that I want to keep the Torah mitzvot without any reward, rather I want to keep the commandment of faith, that is to believe in the greatness of the Creator, even though the body doesn't feel the greatness and importance of the Creator, that it would be worthwhile to listen to him and to keep his commandments with all of the details and in meticulousness, because by that I serve him. And I imagine to myself with such a depiction that if I was serving the greatest of the generation, who doesn't allow everyone to serve him, rather he chose a handful of people, and I am among them, what joy would I then have? And why is it here, regarding the work of the Creator, I'm not able to work without any reward? Rather, I'm expecting to be given some reward for my service. This is because there I see this person that everybody is respecting, and they tell me what is his greatness, and I can attain his greatness, what they are telling me about him. Then I serve him due to his importance. Whereas with the Creator, we have to believe regarding his greatness and importance, and mostly to believe that he is good and does good. However, the body doesn't want to believe, but to see in the eyes that this is how it is. Because of this, when a person sometimes overcomes with partial faith, meaning with small parts to give it to the body, he believes. But for him to have complete faith, he doesn't have the power to believe it, as it says in the introduction to Taz. By this we can understand what is the reason that a person cannot advance in the work of bestow. That is, in a place where he doesn't see that he will have any reward for his work, he runs out of fuel, and then the body does not want to do the work. We have to say that this is only due to lack of faith. And when a person knows that is, at the time that a person knows the reason that makes him weaker, so that he doesn't have the strength for the work, then there is room for hope that he will have the ability to correct himself in a way that he will be healthy and strong, and he will have the ability to go and do the work. Whereas when one does not know the true reason that brings him that weakness, he can go and listen to several people who give him pieces of advice for how to heal, how to get better. But none of this will help him, because each one is telling him what they understand according to their opinion, how he will be able to heal. And for the time being, he takes some medicine from them, and he starts to think that they understand something about it. Otherwise, he wouldn't listen to them. And furthermore, it is easier to listen to them and believe that they know what they're talking about, because they consider themselves to great experts. And also the remedies that they give him doesn't put his life at risk, the life of self-love. Because of that, the whole world, when they feel some weakness in the work, they go to them. And they give them some medicines, and those medicines calm them down. That is, one who feels a little bit of suffering in the work of God, when he sees how far he is from the truth, and he does not want to deceive himself, for this he goes to ask for some medications to cure his weakness in the work. And when he takes those medications that they give him, it is a medication of truth for the time being. That is, the sufferings that he had went away from him by their medication.
Meaning they give him something to calm himself from a few reasons. Either it's a lot of people are doing it, so it's the multitude opinion, that they do a lot of actions and by that they relax. And why you need more than everybody, and if you see everybody's doing that and it's enough for them, so you do that. And you see that I dwell in my people. And then it calms him, because we know as much as a person can justify himself under the condition that he's integrated in a big crowd, because the influence of the environment is very strong on a person, especially if it comes with all kinds of benefits here and there that they offer for the person. And still, he has the opportunity to run away, shut his eyes, his ego supports it, he justifies himself, many people justify it too, and then it's a calming remedy, meaning that the sickness is there, it develops, but he doesn't feel it for now. Because the calming medication, it covers the development of the disease.
That he no longer has suffering because he's not walking on the path of truth. That is, by the medication that he took from them, he no longer has a demand for the truth. It follows that the medications that he took from them are medications that calm him down, meaning so that he doesn't feel the pain. And this is similar to one who has a headache and he's taking pills to calm it down. And it's not that those pills cure him, but it is only in order to calm him down, not more than that. Similarly, it is with our issue, that all of the pieces of advice that he's getting from those counselors, who are part of the majority, they cannot give him pieces of advice for how to perform deeds of bestowal. they give him only medications that calm him down, but do not deal with the essence of the disease, which is the main reason that brings one weakness. Whereas at a time that one reaches to know the root cause for the disease, meaning that the entire reason is only that he's lacking faith to believe in the greatness and importance of the Creator, which is called in the Zohar divinity in dust, and our work is to raise divinity from the dust. This gives us a different order in the work of the Creator.
And that's how we have to see also people that leave us and then they take actions against us. It's to justify themselves, to calm themselves, that they're still in a sorrow or some searching, and they can't remain quietly or go on the path of the masses, and they also can't take our path for some reason. And then they search for some calming medication, and by resisting and going against us, we have to see the reasons for every action a person takes.
This means that a man has to know that there is a deed and an intention in what we were given to keep the Torah and mitzvot as a deed in speech and action. But for all of those, meaning both for the Torah and also for the mitzvot, the commandments, there is also an intention. That is to aim. What is it that I want for the keeping of the Torah and mitzvot? Which means, what should I intend for while keeping Torah and mitzvot? And mainly one has to know, for whose benefit should I keep them? That is, for people who belong to the majority, about them, it is not relevant to say that they will make intentions, because from lo lishma they will come to lishma, and the deeds themselves are sufficient. And because of that, we cannot obligate them to make intentions. Rather, the reason they keep the Torah and mitzvot is as doing, which applies to commandments that depend on speaking or doing. The intention is not important then, because even if they have no intention, rather their intention is that now they are keeping what the Creator commanded us to do. This is enough for us in the aspect of lo lishma. However, at the time that a person wants to reach lishma, which means that he wants to keep the Torah and mitzvot not in order to receive a reward, rather he wants to bring contentment to the Creator, in order to reach that, then the matter of intention applies. Which means, this mitzvah that I'm keeping, with which intention am I doing it? And it is known that without a reward, it is impossible to work. If so, what can we tell a person that it's worthwhile to work not in order to receive a reward? However, he needs a reward, a payment. There is only one thing we can tell him, which is that he will be rewarded with serving the king, that there is no greater pleasure than him serving the king. And according to the degree of the importance of the king, so one would enjoy it. That is, the measurement of the pleasure from serving the king depends on the importance of the king, on the extent by which one appreciates him. And because divinity is in exile, and also divinity is in the dust, therefore it says in the Zohar that a man has to aim to raise divinity from the dust. Because the matter of dust is the matter of lowness, that a person stomps this with his heels. Which means that in every action that a person does while keeping the Torah and mitzvot, he has to aim that by that he will be rewarded with raising divinity from the dust. which means that he wants a reward for his exertion in the Torah and Mitzvot, that he will be rewarded with feeling that he is serving a great king.
But that'll be a true, strong feeling, and that is a reward. It's an actual reward. Well, it's still lo lishma, but it's already, it's like a passage, it's a transition. We have this transition on the path from our own nature to spiritual nature, and we are going through like this passage, this transition that we have to integrate in the group, and with the group attain the greatness of the Creator, work for Him in order to enjoy the greatness of the Creator, that what we belong to, and so on. And obviously the reforming light is working on all this, that's changing us again and again, until we start discovering that we don't want to be dependent on that feeling of greatness of the Creator, and then we can move on. Yes.
That is, during the exertion, one feels that spirituality, that is, at the time that he wants to work in order to bestow, then he feels a taste of dust while doing his work. And this is because there is a great concealment over spirituality, that we do not see or feel the importance of it. And from that, one gets all the obstacles. Whereas, if the Creator were to remove the concealment from him, and one could feel the importance of the King, then that would be all of one's reward, all that he wishes for himself in his life.
Who would resist that? Could anybody object if the Creator would be revealed in all his importance? Everybody in the world, so everybody would be obligated to do everything. Until the that even to lose his life, it all depends on knowing that greatness.
Since he wants to serve the King, as we say that in the prayer, we say in the prayer of Uva Letzion, he came to Zion. Blessed is our Lord who created us for His honor. And a person wants to have the possibility to give gratitude to the Creator for creating him for His honor. That is, to serve the Creator, which means that one would agree with all of his organs and that his mouth and his heart will be equal when giving gratitude to the Creator for creating man for His honor. And that man was not created for his own benefit, rather all of his yearning and desire would be only to bestow contentment to the Creator. And this intention is what a man has to aim for in every action that he does, that through the virtue of the action that he's performing, that the Creator would give him the intention that all of his deeds will be only in order to bestow, and that he would revoke from him the desire for self-love, since one sees that he cannot get out of its dominion, and he is in exile among the nations of the world that are in his body. It is known what the Zohar says, that every man is a small world. And as it says, that in the world there are 70 nations, and also the nation of Israel, similarly, in a single person, there are also the 70 nations, and also the aspect of Israel. And the aspect of Israel in him is in exile under the dominion of the 70 nations within him. And this is, as our sages said, one who comes to be purified is aided. And we have to explain what does it means that he comes. We can say he comes, meaning the deeds that he does. And he wants to do it, lishma, for the sake of the Creator, but he cannot, because he is in exile under the dominion of the nations of the world. He is aided from above, meaning the Creator redeems him from the exile of the nations that were ruling him. It follows accordingly that at the time that a person performs a deed, and he wants the deed to be lishma, and not because of self-love, meaning that he would receive some reward for the deed, that is, some reward in this world or in the next world, mostly he wants something for the deed that he's performing. However, he wants from the Creator that the deed that he's doing will give him complete satisfaction, and he will now feel in himself that he is now happier than the whole of the world by serving the King. Whereas, if he'll receive anything beyond the service that he's doing, that would flaw the service of the King. And the evidence for that is that he wants something extra. However, what can he demand? Is why doesn't he have an inspiration and a true sensation while he is talking to the King? For example, he's asking of the Creator that he would like, at the time that he's performing the blessing of those who enjoy, and he says, "Blessed are you, O Lord, who brings out bread from the earth." Why doesn't he have the common courtesy to stand in fear and trembling as one stands before the King? Rather, he is talking to the Creator, yet he has no sensation of feeling who it is that he's talking to. And that hurts him. And since he's not qualified to correct himself, because of that, he asks of the Creator to help him and give him a little bit of revelation so that he would feel who it is that he's standing before the King of all kings of all kings. And why cannot he feel that? About that, they said in the Zohar, one who comes to be purified is aided. And the Zohar asks, in what? And it replies, with a holy soul, meaning that he is given from above the abundance called neshama, a soul. And that helps him to have the ability to come out of the control of the exile of self-love and to enter sanctity. That is, that all of his thoughts will be only how to bestow contentment to the Creator. And since by the neshama, the soul that one attains, the concealment and restriction are removed, and one feels the greatness of the Creator, and then the body surrenders as a candle before the torch, before the light of the Creator. And then one feels that he came out from slavery to freedom. That is, instead of that during the time that he wanted to just serve the Creator, immediately came the questions of the 70 nations in his body, and they were asking, how can one concede the existence of the body and not think anything for it, rather invest all of one's forces and senses in how can we find counsels to give contentment to the Creator? And even worse are their questions, in that a man doesn't think that those thoughts do not belong to the nation of Israel, rather they are the thoughts of the 70 nations. However, the person thinks that those are his thoughts, meaning that he is asking himself those questions. And how can one fight with himself? And Baal HaSulam said that a person has to know that those thoughts and desires that are alien to the spirit of Judaism do not belong to the aspect of Israel. Rather, they come from the thoughts of the general nations of the world that enter the aspect of the individual or personal nations of the world that are in every individual. And when a man believes that this is how it is, meaning that they are not his, then a man can fight with another body. Whereas when one thinks that these alien thoughts are his, a person cannot fight with himself. And
is everything clear till now? How can we, question, how can we depict the lights of Naranchai? Where do we receive them? Where do they appear to us? Where are they revealed to us? And what can we say about them? What pleasures are they? Where are they revealed? And what are they felt? Please. Let's go.
The lights that appear in the work that we do between us, in the connection between us, in the reciprocal bestowal between us.
All of the lights are revealed in our efforts to integrate in society in order for society to give us the force of faith, the greatness and importance of the Creator. And the more we go deeper into society, we have a bigger vessel that these lights can appear in.
They're revealed only according to the intensity of our efforts to connect. As much as we make efforts to connect between us, more lights are revealed.
We talked about it that a person, even if he works on behalf of the greatness of the Creator, but that's for a reward too, we have to work above it, above the greatness of the Creator. And there in that vessel, those lights can be discovered.
And this kli, which is above the greatness of the Creator, is actually the kli of the connection between the friends, which is the kli inside of which all of these lights can be revealed. He also calls it neshama.
And with the attempts to come out of himself and pray for the others, and he sees that he can't, so there's a necessity for the light.
All the lights are revealed or begin to be revealed only after we're able to create some separation between the Israel in every person and the nations of the world within him. It starts to be able to fight, as he says here, to fight between Israel and the nations of the world inside of me. Then we start to feel the taste in this difference, in this gap between thoughts and desires that are alien versus the thoughts and desires of the aspect of Judaism in him, as he writes.
The person is the ten, it's the group, and the more that one body will appear these difficulties in working in connection for the Creator, that's where we start discovering all of those lights, because it's like the body trying to overcome some sickness, as he wrote. And the body can overcome only by the importance in that work, meaning how we give the ten or the society the importance.
Yes, the lights appear according to how much we're able to overcome as a ten over the separation between us.
Always talk about a vessel of connection and how we have to attain the connection above what separates, above the resistance, above the hatred. But in addition to that, we're lacking like this extra layer that where the vessel actually exists, where the lights can be, such lights can be revealed in it. There's like an addition here that you have to bring it into the workshop. I don't know.
And we need to pay attention that all the pleasures that we feel in our egoistic vessels today are not even one of those naranchai. This is just called the tiny candle. So this naranchai is something new that appears in new vessels that we don't have right now. It's a different quality. It's hard to... It's a matter of sensation. However, it's a different quality. It's not some greater pleasure. I don't know, I can have this eat this chocolate or that chocolate. It's something totally different.
It's probably like a different quality that you don't measure it according to your will to receive, and it's revealed in the connection between us above all the disturbances, that from that, those words, the connection between us, it also has an emotional meaning in there.
So actually, there's not much left for us to do but to try to fill one another and the center of the connection between us, which is in the center of our group, the center of this 10, and from there to try and feel and connect to those lights, those tastes that are there.
And the important thing in those attempts is not to stop, because if you stop, it's like it doesn't exist anymore. We have to continue and continue and add and add and just believe that it happens in reality, because the moment you stop, that's it.
That's the only action we have, is the effort to connect between us. And this gradually awakens the lights upon us and allows us to feel in the new vessels, the Naran Chai.
Nicely said. That's exactly what I wanted to say. And we have to work on the connection between us because of the greatness and importance of the Creator, that that gives us the forces to work in connection upon those rejections, the resistance, and above it, we expect and hope and aim for that in that connection, the reforming light will work. That it will already give a new vessel where those lights can be revealed.
And the greatness of the Creator will be revealed only in a place. Apparently you need two kinds of the greatness of the Creator. There's the greatness that I feel in my egoistic vessels, and there is the greatness of the Creator that I receive from the connection between us. Because the greatness of the Creator in my egoistic vessels, if it is the greatness of the Creator, it still is in my egoistic vessels. So there is some distinction here that we need to still scrutinize. What's the difference between these two kinds of the greatness of the Creator?
Yeah, those flavors we start finding in the connection, we don't do it for ourselves, but maybe it's a sign that we are bestowing contentment to the Creator. And that's what has to lead us. That in those loops we go through, we're going deeper into the connection and drawing the reforming light in order to discover that new reality.
Rav, how can we depict to ourselves the attainment of the drop of unity? How can we depict to ourselves the attainment of the drop of unity? That out of the connection between us, we discover unification, unity with the Creator in the connection between us. Please.
First of all, there is no feeling of me, of the self, or how I feel, only concern and thought towards that mutual connection, towards that point of connection between us. That is in all our being and everything that should be in my head, as we say. And in that thing, that same special something can be revealed, that light, that Creator, in that place that there is no me.
That over these efforts of ours, even though they're just efforts, these are efforts that are aimed at giving contentment to the Creator, and the light that reforms comes and brings us to that drop of unity. It's not that we reach this state, rather we're being brought to this state because of the deficiency that we develop through our efforts.
Yeah, for sure the light is doing all the work, but it, like, it seems like there's this blurring out between me and we, that I start integrating in the 10, then again in himself, then again in the 10, you go in and out. Same thing between the we. Also there something becomes obscure to something even bigger, even more one.
I'm in some confusion because I feel that we're touching a new quality, as Eyal said. There is some new quality here because we're talking about the same things that we used to talk about. That's okay, but we're now talking about the drop, that drop of unity. I don't know, these are vessels that are above reason. Well, I don't know, here it's hard to talk, and I feel that we are already touching it. And here there is some difficulty.
To continue what the friends here are saying, in the feeling, there's speaking about the connection, and there's feeling the connection. It's like the example Rabash gives with the child with the rag doll compared to the real baby. The rag doll, it represents the baby, and the little girl loves it, supposedly. And then there's the real baby, which is the true thing. And I think here, when we're speaking about that drop of unification, that is experiencing the connection and not just being inspired by this picture of connection. I don't know, I'm trying to discern between those two qualities.
It is to be in a state where you're not chasing some emotion, but finally you're actually fulfilling the desire of the 10. You see them as a group, not as individuals. You see them as one unity, and you're performing the action that the Creator is doing. You're actually trying to fulfill their desires in order to serve the quality of bestowal, not in order to serve your own ego.
How can we depict for ourselves great, horrible suffering that obligate us to connect until we reach unity? And as opposed to that, how can we invent such forces, bring such forces that will obligate us in our own freedom of choice to unite one against the other? Either by suffering we have to reach connection, or by our own good freedom of choice we reach connection. How can we depict this picture and that picture in the same intensity? Please.
It's very hard to imagine great sufferings, but even from the little sufferings, that small sufferings that we can imagine, it already turns out that it's better to do it by choice. And if you speak about choice, then it's very clear that we need to have another drive instead of the suffering. And this other drive would be from the friends, from the great example that we get from the friends.
I can actually imagine very great suffering, not also for myself, but the whole world. It's, you can build this script really great. But there's no real difference between suffering and the path that we're taking if we prepare the importance in advance. And if we have that importance in advance, so those two things, they like both align themselves towards a goal. And then it doesn't matter what we thought was suffering before or what our choice is. If we only deal in the connection between us from importance in order to give contentment, everything just aligns on that right line, which is the path to reaching the goal.
Yes, my mind can also depict many such scenarios easily. We can throw us all away from here. This scenario is simple. I actually play it inside all the time. And without a doubt, it's only the importance. Nothing else will awaken us. How do we do it? I don't know. But this is the only thing we have to work on, to search or at least reach this kind of scenario of the importance of the goal.
Okay, so I'll be the naughty guy, and I'm going to read a passage from letter 8. Only from the huge fear we can reach the adhesion in the Creator, and from there we will reach the drop of unity. That suffering isn't the question. We need the suffering, that's for sure. We have to go through it, because upon them we can even create that connection. The question is, what attitude do we determine towards that suffering? How to work with it correctly? How to see it as help for advancement and not to be buried underneath them?
So I'll continue the confusion. So I think there are three stages, not two as before. First of all, there is come and connect, because if you don't connect, you're going to feel bad. That's the first stage, very simple. People run away to connect, because otherwise they'll feel bad. And then it is, let's connect, because it's so good to connect without any relation to the bad. And then it is to truly unite. So these are three stages. I feel that today in the workshop we're starting to touch this distance between the second and third stages that I talked about. Until today, it was only not for us to feel bad, to avoid feeling bad. Then the feeling is, unity is actually good. We get that. Now it is, let's start to feel it.
Every day that goes by and we didn't make any efforts during the lesson, that is the evil. To depict it in a corporeal way, a person can't, because his internal mechanism blocks it out. It can only come from outside. We have to scare each other.
Rav, what kinds of suffering should there be that will compel me to connect with the others in a uniform manner? What sufferings, depict those sufferings, what kind should they be so that I will want to connect with the others in order to avoid them in a complete manner, as one man in one heart?
No.
Well, we can't even, we don't have any feel for these sufferings that we can depict any of it.
I can't really put my finger on the type of suffering.
And against that, what kinds of sufferings, those same suffering, can we establish, formulate, that we will have if we don't reach unity in order to bestow contentment? It has to be one against the other. It is the same system that is working through a deficiency. Either the deficiency comes out of the stick, or it comes out of awareness. But the deficiency has to be, say, matching 10 pounds. Where do you get it from? That's your business. This is clear, right? Is the question clear? It is? Okay, let's go.
The moment we attain a certain quantity of suffering, but the question is, what direction are those sufferings? I don't see it like on the body or our life can actually bring a demand for connection in its complete manner, but suffering from more from envy that I see that my friends are attaining it and I'm left behind, or that I'm lacking what I see in them, in their qualities, in their adhesion. When, once I'm lacking that, that'll push me towards connection, to adhere to them and integrate with them and receive that thing they have.
In my eyes, the greatest sufferings can be by truly receiving the greatness and importance, however, when we discover that it's all for the will to receive. And against that, the greatness and importance that the society is talking about is altogether in a different plea. The moment you have that awareness, that deep feeling of the infinite gap between these two forms, this is all you need. This is why we're studying. This is what we're drawing the reforming light for. So it will show us how great this gap is and how much work we still have to do.
I think maybe first of all, like, take a deep breath and understand there is suffering. So we can't run away or take all kinds of tricks to try and avoid them. So we do have suffering. The question is, where? Is it something external or even internal of this world, let's say? Or is it something even more internal and purposeful, that I'm not able to implement what I'm supposed to, or I don't reach the goal?
Sufferings or torments of love. That we, in the connection between us, we want that in the connection between us to create a kli, a place that will all be in order to bestow contentment to the upper one, a place where he will be able to be revealed, but for it to be specifically in order to give contentment to the Creator. That the sufferings are because we feel that this whole connection is in order to bestow contentment, but still there is some reward that we want there. And this is what hurts us, that we cannot be in pure bestowal, just like the upper one is in pure bestowal. And this pain, I don't know, today we're touching a different important point and we need to be grateful for it. We have to give thanks.
Yeah, torments of love, I think that is the kind of suffering that can bring you to want to be connected in the complete way. And that's the question of what your intention is. What is your purpose? Because if I come and I threaten you that you'll feel bad and by that you run and connect, that's one kind. So you're connecting just not to suffer the blows I'm about to give you. And there's the suffering from love, that it's because you want to connect. From that you have the suffering. Like Owen said before, there is suffering, it's just a completely different kind. It's not the same thing. I don't know, like to be in love or not to be in love. And it's the exact same kind. And when you're in love, the deficiency comes from the desire to connect. It's not by you being afraid that you're going to feel bad. It's not as it's a pretty serious discernment. It's two opposite states.
A person suddenly discovers that there is no chance in the world that he can shift from his egoistic quality to an altruistic quality. And the yearnings for it, I don't know how to call them, this desire that yes, there is something above it, and to take a step in this direction, you're constantly moving parallel to it. You can't even reach this corner. You can't make a drill hole there and go in there. Those are the formats of love. There's no chance in the world for it to happen if there will be no desire from above. And this desire we have to entice it. Those are the torments of love. And the other sufferings is just that you get some slap to your will to receive and it starts hurting. That's our nature. It swells and swells in pride. Then it shrinks and is able to hear. It can connect to someone. The moment you just leave it by itself, it starts to inflate and fill up the whole of reality. Boom, you slap it, and then it's like an amoeba. It shrinks, and it starts to accept the higher reality.
Horrible suffering from us sitting here morning after morning and day after day, and are not sure that we're successful in giving contentment to the Creator. Or maybe we are doing it, but not enough, or don't know, or don't feel it. But if there's something that brings suffering and drives you crazy, it's as if the lesson went by and we didn't demand the light at all. We didn't attempt to connect. We just sat here and the lesson went by. And there was an opportunity and everything you needed was here. And I missed out on it. That's suffering. After, it's like losing a whole day. What now? And then we continue. And that pushes you to connection, to a very big deficiency to reach connection, and to be prepared for the next lesson.
When you get this trick that all the states that the tens are going through, that we're all going through now in the preparation for the Congress, when you get this idea that it's the Creator arranging all of it in us in order for us to develop a deficiency for connection between us, then the question comes up. Indeed, where is this place where specifically in the tens we managed to do what we're talking about on each talking about each one individually? How can we take it in the tens and turn it into torments of love? This is the place where, as tens, as a single clean, we can actually to start working with this drop of unity, which is beyond the sensations that we develop out of lack of success. We continue to invest effort as though we don't have those feelings of suffering.
The type of suffering, it's actually derived from importance. We need importance of the goal in the ten and the connections, that'll be the important thing, and that we suffer that we can't reach that connection in order to give contentment.
Let's put it this way, that we went through so many things already, and we truly want to reach, we yearn to reach connection, and we know already it is a connection on a different level, and we very much want to reach it. Truly, from the depth of our heart, we want to reach this connection, and we understand that we have no chance to reach this connection that we're depicting out of experience, from the flesh, from the pain. We know that only the upper one can bring about this connection, and this sorrow, it is a sweet sorrow, I don't know.
Well, I'll say what I popped into my mind. They say that a person isn't longing for the king's daughter. And I have a feeling that we are starting to long for that king's daughter, that in somewhat we're starting to feel that's the thing. That's what we need. Now we start saying, what? Me? Him? What? No, how can that be? And what king's daughter? Where am I? But in somewhat, this desire starting to happen, that's what we want, that connection, that very special connection that we might not feel today in our vessels, but we know there is such a thing, that some desire starting to build in, like this different desire, I don't know.
Unity in order to bring contentment to the Creator with a complete intention, not in order to get something for ourselves, in order to receive alternative vessels to draw the pleasures, and reaching a state where you don't know, you cannot do it, in every motion, everything you do, there is still some reception which is hidden. The inability to come out of it, and the confidence that only the upper one can do it, and anger and rage, all of it together. These are the torments of love.
We'll go to the next